is a collect call from
Life of a Lifer.
To accept this call, press 5 now.
Hello and welcome, friends and family. This is Taylor Conley back with you on the Life of a Lifer. Thank you for tuning in and be sure to subscribe. Today, it's a special day. We got a household name and a worldwide legend with us. I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Bubba K, a.k.a. Bubba Sparks. How you doing today,
Taylor,
my man?
Taylor, my man, thank you for having me. I'm doing well, and I'm just inspired by your calls and your vision for everything that you're doing, and just want to be a part of it and try to speak with through the testimony of my experience and combined with yours that people can't help some people. So I'm here for that all day long.
That's what's up. Having your support means a lot to me. Coming from a place of where I'm at, behind bars, I've been behind bars for the last 15 years almost, and that's been a struggle. It's been a long road. We put together this vision with design conviction and doing this podcast and just speaking the truth. Not the truth that you're going to hear in the media, but the truth coming from people that are behind bars that are going through this stuff. And I know you got a story, and I'd like to hear some of your story, man.
Yeah, I've been arrested and spent the night in jail 5 or 6 times, a couple days here and there. And then once I was arrested, I did nearly a month in jail. And it was a pretty serious case that I was in the midst of. So even though I don't have anything that even remotely compares to the length of the time you've been incarcerated, I've had my brother has been incarcerated. I've had several friends that have done extensive bids. And I just know the impact of it. I relate to it from the standpoint of no particular situation that led to somebody being incarcerated, but just knowing that I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I am human. I'm very frail. And I've effed up a lot of times, you know what I'm saying? And it's just by the grace of God and the way the universe called it down or whatever, I haven't been put in a situation where I had to do, like I said, a lengthy amount of time. But I've just seen the impact it has on not only just on a mother, but her child being incarcerated, what it does to a family as far as the kids and the spouse. And I know as time goes on, I've seen it too, where people, even with the best intentions, with genuine love for the person that is behind bars, as time goes on, I've seen fewer and fewer people correspond with cats and finally reach a point where they're more or less alone in there. I'm a firm believer in the idea of rehabilitation. I know it's something that's a loose idea, something that just gets said a lot of times, and it doesn't equate to punishment more times than not. But I have seen instances where people I knew were rehabilitated did come out better people than they went in and had tools that better prepared them to be successful in the real world. So I'm definitely a proponent of everything that you're doing and everything that you guys embody. That's why I felt like it was important to come on here and just put my stamp on it. If I can bring more ears and eyes to everything that y'all got going on, to the whole plight of the prison system and some of its failings, then I'm here for it. I think that's the least I can do.
Those are really inspirational and wise words, because the fact of the incarceration system was designed for rehabilitation. Yet the way that it's come down, it's turned into a system that's based off of punishment and a lot of, you know, people making a lot of money out of the situation and become very political in a sense, to where the rehabilitation oftentimes gets lost in the translation of everything. And with the incarceration system getting up to be to where there's almost 3 million people incarcerated currently across the United States, it's become quite an issue to look at what can we do to reduce that population. I found myself to be very rehabilitative, and that's how I got into writing music and learning how to play music. That's what really inspired me to do it, doing artwork, being an artist and things like that. And I would like to hear from you, how has music transpired your life? I feel like art changes lives. That's a motto that we have, and I'd like to hear from you,
you know,
what it's done for you.
Art 100% does change lives. I mean, on the most basic level, I'm reminded every time I go in the studio, a lot of times I don't set out to make music. Like, I just did a project when the quarantine first started back in April. I did my new project, which is called The King of Crap. coming out December 1st, getting ready to come out. I'm excited about it, but I had no intentions of making a new album. It's just we're sitting around, we're quarantined, and finally I had one of my homeboys bring his gear over to the house, you know what I'm saying, and we're going to record a couple songs. Next thing, I've done 15 new songs and got a whole new project. I rediscovered, as I have done in the past, I rediscovered how vital, not important, how vital the therapeutic aspect of what music does for me and the creative process and having that outlet, what it does for me. It saves my life, and it has saved my life. I don't even have the intention of doing this, but through the creative process, I sort things out in my mind. It helps me come to terms with things. And I got divorced a little less than two years ago. And there was a lot of healing that I needed to do from that. It's just a lot of things that went down, and it was inadvertently, without that being a stated mission by any stretch, it helped me come to terms with it and find some peace from it. You know what I'm saying? Just through the creative process. I didn't make a dollar from music, and I've been blessed. I've done well. You know what I'm saying? But I still need the process just as much as if it was a hobby or quote unquote or whatever. And it's really special and near and dear to my heart. I put it up there with Oxygen and Water. I do. And moving on down the street from there, the fact that I grew up on a dirt road 20 minutes north of LaGrange, Georgia, which is a town about 70 miles southwest of Atlanta, and a pretty rural community. And back in the 90s, when I first started dabbling with this music thing, I don't know if you remember that period, but there weren't a lot of white boys that grew up on a farm doing their thing within hip-hop music and culture. Just art, music, but even, you know, to specify even more, hip-hop music and the culture has done so much for me. I've been all over the world. I've had a life. People from where I'm from, I had an issue where people didn't believe me. They thought I was lying for a long time because when I was telling them I signed a record deal and all this stuff, because people don't believe things like that could happen. It would have been more believable to those people if I had said, I'm going to be an astronaut. They would have been like, okay, all right, compared to what I was saying in 1999, 2000 especially. And so I don't know. It was a blessing. Like, it was something beyond me, beyond my powers, that brought this music to me one day through my neighbor, Dwayne Hollingsworth. And for the first time I heard hip-hop music, the first song I ever heard was 2 Live Crew. Somebody say, hey, we want some food. And I heard Brass Monkey by the Beastie Boys right around that time, too. And when I was hook, line, and sinker. I was strong. I was head over heels, madly in love. I knew I had to be a part of something. I just knew. And from that, the love affair started at that time, you know, when I was probably 19 years old. And it just developed into the lifelong entanglement that it has become. You know what I'm saying? And I'm grateful for it, man. I live for this thing. I do. I really do. I've given so much to it. I've made sacrifices. No, but this music and the industry that accompanies it to blame largely for just my own personal bullshit, to largely be to blame for the reason my marriage didn't work, because I'm just so set in this lifestyle because I'm all in. There's no compromising. It's just been too long. I'm an old dog at this point. This is who I am. It's what makes me, and this is what I do. And there's not going to be any trading on that. Like, it's not. I'll be rapping when I'm 83 years old. If I'm able to do it mentally, like to if my mental faculties will allow, I'll be doing it until the day I die, as long as I possibly can. Like I said, it's just that therapeutically necessary.
Yeah, man, I think that those words that you spoke are pretty inspiring right there. It's like what you said, that they would have believed that you said you were going to be an astronaut versus a hip-hop artist.
Even my own family, I thought I was crazy. I thought I was pathological lies. I basically just made it all up and hurt, but I couldn't be that caught up on it because I understood. They just didn't know. And I was used to that by that point in time. By the time I was in my 20s, people had been calling me crazy for things I had said my whole life. I just learned at a young age, these motherfuckers don't know shit. These people don't know anything. They're scared to death. They stuck their toe in the pool of chasing a dream and then believing in yourself at some point in life, and it didn't go well. So then they take their foot out of the pool, and then they spend their whole rest of their lives discouraging anyone else that has a dream and wants to stick their toe in that pool from doing so. And at a young age, I said, nah, I'm not going to listen to that. That's not going to trick me. You're not going to trick me with that. I believe I can do this. And that's what has to happen, Taylor, because from there, then how country rap has sprouted. There's a lot of country people participating in hip-hop music and culture at this point. And it's like, if nothing else, if they didn't like my music, some people got different tastes, whatever. But I was proof positive. I was the physical evidence that they could see and say, look, it can happen. You know, it can.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically the groundbreaker on the whole movement. As far as I can see, you look back at it and you paved the way for this whole thing to even happen, the whole thing of country hip-hop, country rap. When I look at some of your music, I look at a contrast in the music from the Charm, that style of music, to where it's more of some player shit, like some flavorful, smooth, jazzy type feel to it.
Yeah,
because I relate to it, though. I relate to it because I grew up in the country, and then when I was 16 years old, I got kicked out on the streets, and I was out in the streets. So I have that relatable quality to you, and I think a lot of people can relate to it, and that's why it has caught on so far vast and has become not quite mainstream, but you, out of all of the people that have done it, actually made it mainstream and have the gold,
yeah,
a gold album. So I respect
you
that.
You know, before I'm anything, a lot of people, I am proud to be a country boy. I wouldn't trade my upbringing for anything in the world because it molded me, it made me. But before I'm anything, before I'm white, any of that type of stuff, I'm hip-hop. That's what I identify as, hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what I'm in it for at the end of the day, the art. Like I said, I'm so appreciative. That's why I hold my craft, why I take my craft so seriously, because I feel that's the number one thing that you can do to show gratitude, to show how appreciative you are for what the art form has done for you, is by continuing to craft seriously and continuing to develop it. And I'll do that till I die, too. But I think that sometimes people get too caught up in the country part. That's just one of the components of my artistic scope, I guess you'd say. I'm proud to be country, but that's not all I am. And I don't think country just got to fit in a box. There's a lot of ways to be country. I'm still going to be me. I still have my identity. And I think that's what's made me more accessible to a lot of more different people from different walks of life than maybe some of the other cats doing it, because they just hone in on that the country part and just, and then get caught up in politics and all that. And I just don't do that in my music because it's just like the utopian thing, my music. In my vision of the world through my music, the world's a different place, a better place. And that's not to say I'm not going to acknowledge the perils and the negative aspects of how the world is, but it's going to be optimistic and hopeful of what we could become. And that's
right.
And that's important to me, too.
Yeah, I agree with you on the therapeutic aspects of, like, the art, the music, and all its various forms. And I think that coming back to the prison situation, I think that that's what's lacking because years ago, I've been in prison a long time. And
how long
really
you been, how long you been gone, Taylor?
In April, next about 14 and a half years. In April of next year, it'll be 15 years.
2005, 2006,
2006, yeah.
That's when Miss New Booty came out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the album that I was just talking about, right?
The Charm, yep.
Yeah, I like that. That's my shit right there.
I love the Charm, too. I appreciate you saying that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like a lot of the songs on there. The Claremont Lounge.
That's a classic. Wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful.
That features my boy from Athens, Georgia. Dirt Reynolds is on that song too. Dirty Ken, but he was one of my favorite rappers growing up, and he's really somebody that believed in me and inspired me. So it was always great when I could put him on a major album like that, and he did his thing on that song too. Dirt Reynolds, that's a new name.
Absolutely. That inspired me, that record that you made, and I always keep that in my playlist. And I wanted to ask you if you had one song that you wanted me to add to my playlist, which song would it be out of all of them?
Basically, it's hard because it's like your children, right? Your songs are like, it's hard to pick one, but somebody asked me this question recently, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with a song of mine called Ghost.
It's called Ghost.
Ghost, yeah, and it's probably my favorite song called Ghost which was on the Bubba Mathis EP, which was released on Slamerican, which is Yellow Wolf's label, in 2016. And then my other favorite song would be a song called Nowhere, which features a beautiful singer named Kylie Dean. And it was on my second album, the one before The Charm, which is called Deliverance.
Okay.
So Nowhere,
okay,
and Ghost.
Absolutely. The Nowhere song, I like that song a lot. And unfortunately,
you know,
I haven't been able... Yeah, that's just fire, brother.
That's kind of my life story right there.
That's what I like about it. Because you get to know you. But
the real deal right there, bro.
The Ghost song, it's not on the JPEG here, so I haven't been able to hear that one. But I'm going to have my wife play it for me so I can hear it.
Is there anything I can do to make it where you can hear it or whatever? But I forget she's used to that thing, so she probably knows. I got a system worked out.
Yeah, we make it work. That's what it's about for me, figuring out a way to make it work, and we always do. Cause,
right.
I feel like a lot of people told me that we couldn't do this stuff when they said, oh, I'm going to make a magazine that I'm going to get it distributed nationally to prisons across America and get people's stories out there. And they said, how the hell are you going to do that? You're doing life in prison. I said, watch, I'm going to do it. And sure enough, it took me some years to get it together, but I figured out a way to do it, man. And now I said, I want to write some music that tells my story and get some certified, qualified artists to get on the music. I found Seth Anthony. I found his music. I liked his music. I reached out to him, and we made the...
Seth is the bomb. He's the bomb, bro. He's really talented. He's been to prison. I know that. But just meeting with him finally and building with him the other night and just listening to more of his music and hearing his vision and hearing the vision that you guys have for y'all's company. It's just an inspiring situation to me. You know what I'm saying? Talented. And I love the song we did. And I think it's going to be a successful deal for y'all. It's going to help a lot of people. So I'm excited to be a part of it and to see how it unfolds.
Yeah, man, because when I found out that we were going to get a verse from you, bro, I was very excited, to say the least. I couldn't believe it that I was going to be able to get a verse from the godfather of this country, white boy hip hop shit. And just it did inspire me to say that, man, I felt like finally that we're getting something done.
Yeah, a benchmark. You can verify your progress. That's important, man. It's important.
But yeah, man, it's certifiable, and the Outlaw song with the video that we did. And I'm very appreciative of getting your blessing, Bubba. And I just think that your story is incredible. What you've been able to accomplish is something of legendary status. And it just gives me goosebumps thinking that we made it this far.
That, man. And I'm so grateful to be a part of y'all's process. And this is what it's all about. If you're not doing this, if you have any story or if you've made it through any type of, you know, trial, I feel like it's our responsibility to pay it back and pay it forward. I think you're doing the right thing, and it's a blessed situation. I'm glad to be able to do this. It's not my intention in the broadest sense, but I just am happy to be doing right things in the right kind of way. But it's a part of that, you know, getting in with you guys in the movement of what y'all are doing. Solidifies that.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much, brother. And check it out, the Free Taylor EP by Seth Anthony, featuring Bubba Sparks.
Yep.
Burden.
And shout out to my boy Big Buzz. I don't know if he's on there, but Big Buzz introduced us all. That's the homie. And also my new album, King of Crap, which crap is short for country rap. A lot of people call it crap.
Okay.
Anyway.
And
I'm that's what's up,
man.
Yeah.
And that drops on December
2nd,
right?
December 2nd, yeah, that's right. I said December 1st, but it's December 2nd. And I'm excited about this project,
that's
man.
That's my mom's birthday, brother. That's coming out on my mom's birthday.
I didn't know that, but that's awesome. 2 days before Jay-Z's birthday.
Okay, absolutely. Yo. Yo, it's been
hold
surreal,
your,
my
hold
friend.
Hold your head, Taylor. Yeah, hold your head. I appreciate you talking to me. Like I said, I'm just glad to be able to be a part of you guys and help any way I can. And we just getting started. We're going to be doing more stuff, too. So Let's rock and roll, baby.
Let's do it. And don't forget to get out there and get it. The king's a crap. The king of crap. It's coming. It's going to be fire.
Yeah. I promise.
I love
you.
It. I already know. Yep. All right, brother.
All right. Much love.
Stay
man.
Up.
Everybody take it easy. Just keep it real.
Absolutely. All right. Well, this is Taylor Connolly. It's been real. This is the life of a lifer. And everybody, make sure that you subscribe and tell a friend to tell a friend. Thank you for listening. I'm Taylor Connolly, and this is Life of a Lifer podcast. Be sure to visit the website, lifeofalifer.com, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.